Lord God, is our land, is us, the land which is still born out in this world and in the wilderness. And Lord God, you have desired that we take that land. And we give you praise, Lord God, that you are manifesting your life in us so that it takes place and so that your gospel is ministered in the most mighty fashion before the end of the world, before the day of the Lord. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, when Jesus saved us, he did not take us with him. Amen. Did you notice that? When he saved you, he just didn't pluck you out, did he? Man, I wish I was like Enoch. You know, I think Enoch suffered a lot before he left. Amen. I think Enoch suffered persecution before he left. All those who live godly shall suffer persecution. See, and then Enoch walked with God. Amen. See, do you think Enoch might have suffered persecution? You remember in those days, you know, those were the days leading up to the days of Noah. Those were the days leading up to the days of Noah. We were studying in Hebrews chapter 11. And it's good to go back in Hebrews chapter 11, which shows you the leaders of faith. Anybody notice the leaders of faith sinned a lot? Huh? These were not perfect guys, were they? Huh? Gee, I wish I could be like them. Some people say they wish I could be like Pastor Jim. Oh, my gosh, ask Peggy. You know. Some people say they'd like to be like Pastor David. I can't imagine who. But you could just ask Janet, and she'll tell you that it's probably not a good idea. You better just go find God on your own. Amen? Amen. So listen, see, so we're studying on these, but it's good to go like in between the lines. In between the lines. What I'm saying by that is you go into Hebrews chapter 11, it gives you the tidbits of these guys, you know, kind of the pluses. But you go back and you find out where these guys were coming from. Back in Genesis, most of them all in Genesis. So it's really powerful. Did you know that Enoch, anybody know who Enoch's son was? Huh? Methuselah. Cool. Become a man of God and your son gets to live the longest on the earth. What a deal is that? I'm telling you. You don't think you want to? Oh, it's just a point to make. Very interesting that Methuselah lived the very longest on the earth, and actually out of most of those guys, Enoch kind of took off early. But it's powerful. So you walk with God. You walk with God. You're taking the land. You're taking the land. You're taking the land. All right? We'll just begin here. We're just going to do a lot of scripture. That's, you know, I'll start out with, again, Joshua 1:11, because it's kind of a keynote. Joshua is hearing the Lord. He says, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare victuals. And I said last time we were together, that just means pack a lunch. You know, we're going to be gone a while. We're going to be doing some things. You may not get back to cook lunch. So he said, pack a lunch. For within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan. Get everything ready. Pack your coolers. My in-laws, when they're going camping, you know, they pack everything. They don't eat a thing out, as far as I know. They started out when the day after Janet and I got married, or pretty close. They had bought a Nissan pickup, a Datsun pickup. Anybody remember Datsun? They had bought a Datsun pickup, little Datsun pickup. My father-in-law was over 6 foot something, brother, and they put a mattress in the back of that and a gem top on the top, you know, a little top on the back of the pickup. They got in that thing, and that was their camper. These are guys who, when they were 45 years old, they had to start totally over again. They'd been leaders that had been working on a camp down in Glen Rose, Texas, Tarrant Baptist Encampment, the Baptist Association camp down there. And he'd been the maintenance guy, and he built all the sidewalks. He built most of the infrastructure down there, you know. And they did all that. And then when it came time to leave, it was, thank you, brother. God bless you. We don't have any hardness about that. I'm just sharing a story about it. Is they just had to start over. They left that place with nothing. They had sold their house before they moved down there, and they left that place and didn't have a thing. So they started over. They were tearing down houses to build their own house. They're tearing down, you know, go down and tear. He'd get paid to tear down a house, but then he'd also get all the lumber, you know, to be able, and of course, a lot of time you can't get a lot of good lumber out of that, can you? there's a lot of trash involved. So they were doing all that. And so they're coming together. And God just began to bless them. As they honored him, they began to bless them. They had nothing. You know, three kids in school, all this kind of stuff, you know. And God just began to bless them, just incredibly and immensely, because they honored him, because they honored the Lord. Amen? And, but like I said, when they were doing that, God blessed them such that they were able to do now all the things that they want to do. Because they honored God. They gave faithfully. Because they put down themselves and exalted the Lord. Amen? These are good Baptist people. My father-in-law is one of the most godly men. I can't ever hardly talk about that without stopping. He's one of the most godly men I know. Loves Jesus. You know, it's powerful. It is powerful. They got in this thing, and he got in the back of that thing. A bed of a Datsun pickup. Well, that's his camper. That's the first camper they had. They stuck a mattress in the back of that gym top, and that was it. Now they're driving around in about their third 26-foot gooseneck, you know. Thank God when you get rid of your kids, you can do some things. Amen? Hallelujah. But God blessed them. But they're always packing lunch. I mean, they're always packing everything. She cooks like crazy before they ever go. As you're going on a trip, and you don't know when you're going to come back. So pack up. Pack up everything. Don't have stuff that you don't need. Amen? You're getting ready to possess a land. How many times, what do you do, you know, if you're possessing another house? You leave all the stuff in the old house? Huh? You pack it up and you throw away the things you don't need, don't you? For within 3 days you shall go pass over this Jordan to go into the possess the land which the Lord your God gives you to possess it. Which the Lord your God gives you to possess it. I'm going to look in Numbers chapter 33. You can write these down just as you go. You may not want to go all the way over the place with me. But I just want to encourage you this morning. Numbers 33:51. Speak to the children of Israel. This is Moses speaking in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you are passed over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their pictures. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Their pictures. Destroy their picture album. And destroy all their molten images and quite pluck down their high places. And you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein. For I have given you the land to possess it. For you shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land. Now in our case, is God talking about people? Nope, he's talking about this one right here. Don't we talk about possessing your vessel? Jesus said it in Luke chapter 21. Says, in your patience. That's in the middle of persecutions. You have to look in chapter 21 of Luke when he's talking about the end of days. In the end of days, there are persecutions will take place in a grand scheme, in a grand way. Yet he says right in the middle of that passage, it's in your patience. I've got patience. Possess ye your souls. Luke 21, chapter 19. Jesus said that. He said, in your patience, possess ye your souls. Let's look at that one more time. Kind of covering some land we've covered earlier just to kind of move us into the next section. Luke 21. You can look at verse 15. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you they shall cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of my name's sake, of men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is near. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter therein. For these be the days of the vengeance, that all things which are written shall be fulfilled. He says, they're right in the middle of that passage. In your patience, see, don't let your soul get away from you. You know how many know when you get in trouble, truth comes out, doesn't it? When you get in trouble, what's inside comes out, doesn't it? So we want to make sure what's inside. We want to make sure it's not still you. Amen? You know, we'll again go back to look at some portions of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the retelling of the law. Amen? So it's the retelling of the law, the retelling of what God told His people. Said, now, okay, don't forget. How many times in the Scripture does God say to you, don't forget what I've told you? Peter's saying, we've got to always bring these things to your remembrance. James says, don't be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Don't be a forgetful hearer. Over here in, let's see here, just keep going here. Let's go into, stay in Joshua, back over there. I'm just going to carry on through some of these things, just to give us a foundation for what it is. Joshua chapter 18. Verse 3, and Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long are you slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? How long will you be slack to possess the land? See, how many of us are slack concerning the land, concerning going to possess your own land, your own, what I'm talking about is your own soul. Amen? Let's read it again out of, hold your place right there. Let's read it one more time. Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long are you slack, lazy, or just not doing anything? Huh? Tardy? Tardy's good. How long are you tardy? You get in trouble if you're tardy, don't you? You know the reason you get in trouble when you're tardy is because you're missing out. Teacher said, be there on time. I'm going to teach 10 things before 5 minutes after. You know, I'm going to tell you exactly what's happening today before, you know, the day starts. And you'll miss out. You won't even know what's going on. Don't be tardy. Don't be slack. Amen? Don't be slack to possess the land. I'm going to read the other particular scripture over in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 4. Again, we're in the midst of persecution. Do you remember in 1 Thessalonians 4, talking about the end of the world, the end of days coming up? But here, he's talking about your behavior, talking about you, what you believe about who you are and what's involved in your life. Furthermore, this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 4, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk, and so to please God. How's that? How do you please God? Anybody remember? Without something, it's impossible to please God. Faith, exactly. How you ought to walk, and how you ought to please God. So you would abound more and more. So you walk by faith, and you're abounding more and more. You walk by faith, and how many know that you walk by faith? In walking by faith, you walk righteously by faith. You cannot walk righteously without faith. Amen? What I'm saying is, you cannot perform the deeds of righteousness in this life without faith. You're probably not going to read your Bible without faith. You're probably not going to bless your neighbor or bless your wife or bless your children without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please. You won't know how to do it. You won't know what to do. See, God desires that you be in his presence and hearing him. Now keep reading. That you ought to know how to please God, that you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. Now here it is. You've been wanting to know the will of God. Here it is. Even your sanctification. Oh, purity right there. That's the will of God. I thought it was that I get that all come to the knowledge of the truth and none not be saved. Well, here's another one. So, for this is the will of God. Even your sanctification, your holiness, your being separated. This is the will of God. And see, that's what he's done. He saved you not to leave you alone, but he saved you to possess, for you to be possessed of him. He saved you so that you might be sanctified, that you might be brought into his presence as a holy creation. And you are not going to perform that. You have a flesh that is still alive and kicking. Amen. Anybody know it? Hallelujah. It probably jumped up this morning. Amen. I said, sleep in, brother. Sleep in. You knoweth not what will be preached. Sleep in. La da 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 da. Singing your lullaby. But this is the will of God, even your sanctification. That you should abstain. See, your sanctification will prevent you from fornication. Sanctification will restrain you from sin. For the will of God is your sanctification. The will of God is not that you restrain yourself. The will of God is that you be sanctified so that you are restrained of God, even though you still live in this body. Amen? God is not desirous of you figuring out a way to keep your flesh down. Amen. Isn't that good news? Huh? That's good news. See, as you come into his presence, you are being made holy. You're being made holy. I've got somebody who's been talking to me about all kinds of panic attacks that are going on and all kinds of things. You know, I've been praying. I've been trying to get free of it. And I just, you know, I pray and I do all these things. I said, how much time are you spending in the Word? Yeah, I got about that quiet. So how much time are you spending in the Word on a regular basis so that the Word of God, not to look for an answer. Listen, people begin to look into the Word of God and they're looking for an answer. Stop looking for an answer. Amen? You know, oh dear God. You know, some people's Bibles are all torn up, not because they read it all the time, just because they're, you know, when they're in trouble, they rip it apart trying to find an answer, trying to find the trap door. Amen? You ever trying to find the trap door in the Word of God? What the trap door is the secret passage. That's interesting, isn't it? The secret passage. Get it? Bible, Word, passage of Scripture. Ain't no secret passage. Amen? Now, God may use something, but that's His choosing. It's not one you're going to go dig up and find. Now, some of you, God in His mercy has helped you from time to time. You can't live like that. You come into the Word of God and you come in and you allow that Word of God daily to wash over you. Jesus said, you are washed, you are clean because of the Word that I have, because of the Word that I have spoken unto you. He regenerated us by the washing of the water of the Word. He exalted His Word above His name. He's exalted His Word above His name because His name tells you, His Word tells you about His name. Amen? Hallelujah. See, this is the only entrance that we have into the kingdom, into God's kingdom, is this Word. Now, it's not this Bible, this black and white print on these pieces of paper. I did this one time. It just freaked everybody out. You know? Well, I did another thing. It did something too. But yeah. I talked about people standing on the Word, and I stood upon my Bible just like this, you know. And just somebody should go all excited about this. Say, dear God, you're standing upon the Bible. Standing on the Word. You know. It's like this some holy thing. This thing is a vehicle which has the Word of God in it. I'm not saying the Word of God, the Bible contained. He said the Bible contained the Word of God. You know, we got that group. You know. Now, this Bible is the Word of God, but the pages and the ink are not the Word of God. Amen? The words that come through, the words that happened to be, in this case, laid down. If I got a CD back there with the Word of God on it, you know, that'd be the same as this Bible. Amen? It's just a media. It's just a medium. Back in 15-something or other, you know, they were doing books. Back in the old days, they did rolled it up. They had scrolls. Days before that, it was just people by mouth. Imagine that being the Holy Ghost. Amen? Somebody just being brought out and inspired by the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, continuing to bring the Word of God down. Hallelujah. He's saying, why are you slack? Why are you slack to go to possess the land? This Word of God shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Meditate upon your bed. When you rise in the morning, you're meditating upon the Word. See, because this, again, is this Word of God is our entrance into the kingdom of God. It's how the kingdom of God comes to us. And the Holy Spirit then reveals these things to us on a daily basis. He reveals to us, now I say, when I say daily, is He reveals to you, first of all, that He just loves you. Amen? You may not get a revelation of, go do this. You may be being patient that day to hear the Lord next week on a specific issue. But you're doing what you know to do, to possess the land, to possess your land, to possess your mind, your will, your emotions, to know whom God has called you to be, and that you are living in this world as a vessel of the glory of God. Amen? So to possess your vessel, to possess this vessel that belongs to Him, is to bring that thing under submission. Now, how does God do that? How does God do that? Let's look at a few more scriptures here before we move on. I'll just give you the references and we'll just talk about it for a second. Joshua 23:5. Of course, Joshua has all to do with the fact that they're going into the land to begin to possess the land. And the Lord your God, He shall expel them from before you and drive them out of from your sight, and you shall possess. So it's not all about you, but it's up to you to possess. You know, when demons get cast out in the name of Jesus, and that's all it is. It's, you know, the devil can't live in you any longer, so he's trying to hang on. He had you deceived. You thought you were in some kind of bondage or some kind of trouble. And many people are oppressed in some cases by the enemy, by the devil. So we come to you. It doesn't mean you're possessed. You're not possessed of the devil if you're a born again believer, but you may be. You may be oppressed of the devil. Jesus went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. Amen? He's healing all those who are oppressed of the devil. You come in and you cast that guy out in the name of Jesus. He has no authority. Amen? Demonic forces have no authority in your life. Now they may appear to, but we come to them in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get out. Now one thing about it is you can't just enjoy doing what you're doing. Amen. You've got to give it up. You've got to say, okay, I'm done with that. I'm done with that. Now, if you're not done with it, well, I guess you can go on and keep doing it until you get in big trouble. Amen. And everybody ever send yourself into big trouble? Somebody, one day, you just might even get caught. Ooh, glory to God. Wouldn't that be fun? If God said He wants you to repent before you get in real trouble. Amen. A lot of time, trouble is just because you're not walking with the Lord. And just trouble just begins to overtake you. Trouble begins to overtake you. You begin to get in debt. You begin to have relationships that are unprofitable and unfruitful. You begin to do business deals that are unprofitable and unfruitful because you're trying to deliver yourself. You're trying to put yourself in a position of authority in this world. And God says, no, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you possess your land. That is, your mind, your will, your emotions, by the Holy Ghost, because this is His will, even your sanctification, that you not enter into fornication. Amen? Fornication, what's that? That's an illicit relationship. certainly is talking physical, but it can be also every other inordinate relationship that you may enter into. Amen? It's all kinds of trouble you can get yourself into. Because you decided to live in this world and one foot in the kingdom and one foot in this world. Anybody ever heard that? One foot in this world, one foot in the kingdom of God. It's because you're used to it. You're used to living here. I mean, by golly, I know how this place works. You know? It's just frustrating to get into some place where you don't know where everything works. You don't know where everything is. Amen. Sometimes I feel that way when I go into my kitchen. I just don't know where everything is. Any men know like that? Any men know what I'm talking about? Go in there, everything's moved. Everything's moved. I remember I used to trip over furniture in the living room, but I think we got that fixed. Hallelujah. You know, you'd get out and come out, and you know where everything was in the middle of the night. Then all of a sudden you forgot somebody moved it. Somebody moved that chair. Oh, and that teaches you how to not swear. So it's all good. So it's all good. Joshua chapter 20. So that was up there. There we have a promise. Now, chapter 24, verse 8. I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you. How many know your soul is going to fight with you? These are not things that are new to you, are they? You know, you're going to walk before the Lord, and your soul is going to fight you, isn't it? Huh? No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I want to live like, you know, I want to have this and this. Now, again, you're saying in your righteous mind, you know, you're saying, you know, yes, amen. But in your gut, in your flesh, you're going, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to live the way I want to live, by golly. You know, it happens to me every time I come across a plate of Mexican food or something. You know, my flesh is, my scale says no and my body says yes. I don't know about you, I hate buying bigger clothes. So I just walk around looking fat until I decide to obey God. So I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought with you. Yes, they did. But I gave them into your hand. You have the victory. You have the victory over your flesh. Hallelujah. Do you believe it? You got to start with that. You got to start with that. Is that your flesh cannot have dominion over you. Sin shall not, Romans chapter 8 or 6, sin shall not have dominion over me. Amen? You agree with that? You're possessing your vessel. It belonged to you. It's been paid for. It's been purchased. Now you're going in and walking all over it and taking, open every closet. You know, that's how they got Saddam. We took the land, but it's one thing to take the land, but it's another thing to go get Saddam out of the hole. Huh? You still got little nooks and crannies. We still got nooks and crannies over in Iraq, amen? And you know, you're checking in there, look under here, you know. See what's in there. See what's hiding out. You got lots of things hiding out, don't you? Oh, sorry, don't we? Here we go, I got a better answer. And I gave them into your hand. They have been given into your hand. See, that's another thing you lose out on, you forget, you know, is that you forget these things that have been given into your hand. Here. Now go possess the land. I've given it to you. I've put it in your hand, and I've given you authority. Remember the 7, remember the 12 when he went out. He said, go out and heal. Go out and cast out the devil. And then the 70, then the 12 came back. Then the 70 went out. Yes, we have authority over the devil. Well, don't rejoice in that. Just rejoice that your names are written in heaven. See? Amen. Even possessing the land is not the issue. It's a means to an end. Possessing the land is not the issue. You know, getting everything that God promised. Oh, we're going to have everything God promised. You know, some people even stop there. Amen? Listen, you're a vessel of the king. You're an officer in the kingdom of God, in the army of the kingdom of God. Amen? What is your ultimate assignment in the kingdom of God? Once this world is finished, once this world is done, that we might reign with Him, Amen. that we might reign with Him. We're being prepared. We're in officer training school to be prepared. And so all of these things that are interesting us as we go in, because don't you know that when you get into a new to a place where you've overtaken many of the kingdoms that were overtaken by the Romans or by the Persians, you know, they didn't come in and destroy everything. They just come in and took them in a night. Like, remember Babylon? Persia? This night shall the kingdom be taken from you. Done. They didn't come in and burn the place down. They just came in and took over. Just knocked the king down. Took over. And same thing with in another manner. So you come in and take over, and you get everything that's in the kingdom, everything that's right there. You know, you got, man, they may have better victuals than you do. They might have better chariots than you do. You know, hey, wow, we didn't know they had some of these. And you begin to like what they have there. Huh? Anybody, you move into a kind of a new thing or a new job or a new episode of life, and you find things that people left behind that, my goodness, I didn't know I was going to get some of this. Guess it's kind of like that when they move into the White House or something. You know, they go, wow, we're going to get one of these. Well, that's neat. You know, people just have no idea what people do, you know, to set themselves up in business, to set themselves up in authority. And a lot of that is, how many know, a lot of it's fleshly. Once you're in authority, you get fleshly. Amen? You begin to lay down. And that's why people lose the land. They're not vigilant. Another thing is that when Daniel and the children of Israel came were taken away into Babylon and then also into Persia, what did those three Hebrew children, Daniel, what did they decide not to do? To not partake of the king's victuals. To not partake of the things that were in that kingdom. Amen? Because they were of another kingdom, weren't they? Amen. If you're like me, you've done the opposite. It's pretty cool. I think I'll try one of these. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Were we there? I don't think I read the whole. I don't think I ever read it. I think I just told you about it. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Didn't mark it, did I? Oh, we only got to chapter verse 3, no wonder. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Verse 4, listen. That every one of you should know how to possess his, her vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence or passions, even as the heathen, which know not God. That every one of you should know how. Possession for dummies. I need a book. Possession for dummies. That every one of you should know how. You remember all those know-how books? You know, I always loved it because they always got one for dummies. They even got one that's called Hebrew for Dummies. I don't know, where are these people, you know? Is that like John Smith and he knows something about everything? I guess they hire people to do this, but, you know, I just think it's kind of cute. So it's kind of like Possession for Dummies. So don't make that the title of the tape, Jack. They'll never sell. And Pastor Jim might be the tape you'd buy, wouldn't it? So you can swear at the pastor. What do you mean calling me a dummy? Okay, go ahead. And I brought you out of the land. This is back in Joshua 24. So you don't forget that verse. There's the verse you need, that every one of you should know how. Know how. Know how. I want you to go meditate on that one. Amen? Lord, I want to know how to possess my vessel in sanctification and honor. So he brought you in there to the, and I gave them into your hand. This is Joshua 24:8 again. And I gave them into your hand, middle of the verse, that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. And I destroyed them from before you. You go in to possess the land, and I destroyed them. See, you have your flesh, but who's destroyed the power of the flesh? Huh? Jesus destroyed the power of the flesh. Where? In his body on the cross. Amen? How many know he's destroyed the power of sin? Amen? First of all, because I better get back to our first premise in this church. How many know you still got sin after you got saved? You still got sin in you. It still keeps showing up. Just a little. That's good, Will. You're doing good. Just a little bit is showing up. Okay? I didn't give everybody a hand. How about a lot is showing up? There we go. All right. I feel like I'm in the right place. Amen. It's just all showing up. God, what are you doing? That you know how to possess your vessel. You know, this is a great adventure. Amen? It's a great adventure. Don't be down. Don't be distraught. Don't be disappointed. You know, oh gosh, I'm just not making it. I'm just not performing. Let that Word of God just wash over you. It's cleansing you. Now, there's some little nooks and crannies, you know, that it may take a little while. You know, that kind of spray stuff. You got to spray in there and you got to let it set for a while. Anybody, you know, got that kind of stuff? Men love that kind of stuff. They don't love, you know, women will get in there with a scrubby toothbrush or something. Men, we're not into that. You know, we want to get the stuff in the store that, you know, you just spray on it and then you leave and walk away for about a month and then you come back and hope it's gone. And y'all know better than us. You know, we believe in that stuff. It's just because, you know, we're lazy. Amen? Women will get in there, you know, try to get that thing done. But sometimes you need a jackhammer. Sometimes you've been leaving it too long. I mean, that mold and that mildew baby is in there, and you're not going to get it out. I mean, you've got to scrape out every bit of it. But you know who's going to do that is Jesus. Amen? Most things are too big for you. I don't know about you. Most things are too big for me. There's some things that's okay for me. Don't. And don't's pretty good. I see that there. I'm going to... Don't. You know, you're trying to... You know, you see something you want to go after, say something that's enticing to me, something that will make me feel good, something make me feel better, because I'm feeling kind of low. Anybody like that? Are we talking to real people here? Boy, I'm feeling mighty low today. I think a little something would help me out. And you see, we do it privately. It's just me. Nobody knoweth. Nobody knoweth what it is. But it's just me. You know what? Know how to possess your vessel. Know how to possess your vessel. How do you possess your vessel? It's because you know whom you are. You know whom you have believed. And that He is able to keep that which He's committed unto you against that day. That which you've committed unto Him against that day. He's able to keep you. Amen? Father, I just worship You. When you come upon those things, just listen to me. Begin to worship God. Begin to open your mouth. When you come upon those issues which want to overtake you, begin to worship God loudly. Amen? I'm not saying this is a magic pill. This is not. But it's a practice which will run the enemy out of your camp. Amen? Because the enemy hates the praises of God. Know how to possess your vessel. Know how your vessel. Another thing about knowing how to possess your vessel is knowing how your vessel is. See, you got to know where your potholes are, huh? Believe me, you've been riding down that road a long time. I believe you know where your potholes are. Let's avoid those potholes. When you come near one of those, just worship God. Does anybody know what I mean by a pothole? These are the things that you fall into. But the problem is, you know you're going to fall into them. Huh? Let every one of you know how to possess his vessel. Avoiding fornication. That's sexual impurity, but it's also impurities of the flesh. Impurities of the flesh. Those things which will overtake you and drag you down to the pit. You want to know how to not. You want to know how to. Then you can't recover. You begin to be dragged off into bondage. Amen. See, you begin to be dragged off into bondage, and you don't like it, because you know that God is not able to finish his work. He's not able to produce in you what he's desiring to produce in you because that you've, you know, not feared him. See, you've in fact feared the flesh. You have in fact been slack concerning possessing the land. Amen? Don't be slack possessing the land. Now we're not, again, we have to distinguish. We're not talking about salvation here. Salvation is not of you. Even performing these works is not of you, but obedience and fear of God is what God is desiring to instill in you. Fear of God, that is that, you know, I know my Father loves me. And I know that what He is doing in me is for my blessing. And He will. How many fear the doctor? I don't mean like afraid. Some people, you know, doctors are like God to some people, you know? Because, I mean, they take away disease from the midst of you. Anybody know we kind of worship doctors in this land? Huh? Anybody know that? It's like Dr. So-and-so, he can take the cancer. You know, you will do, when I say that, I mean, you will do anything they tell us to do. Huh? How many of you do anything a doctor tells you to do? Well, make sure it's not Dr. Quack. Amen. Right? Huh? Amen. You got to know the Lord. You got to know God. Doctors are great people. They help. They do a lot of good. Granted, they do. But doctors are not God. Hallelujah. They're not. And if they make a mistake, thank God we have a God who is in the heavens. And we know where we're going, and we know where our end is. We know we're going to be sleeping with Jesus. Or living with Jesus. I want to get off into something else. Sleeping. Meaning sleep, soul sleep or something like that. Yeah, no, we're going to be alive and awake. If you're in the presence, out of this body, you're in the presence of the Lord. Amen? In the presence of the Lord. Let every one of you know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Let's look back. Keep running here for a while. Judges chapter 18. We're learning how to possess the land. Amen? Possess our land. See, there was a land that they possessed as the land of Israel, but there's a land that God wants to possess, and you know what it is? It's you. The land that God wants to possess is you. Judges 18, verse 9, and they said, arise, that we may go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good. And are ye still? Remember the slack people? Are you still? Are you not moving? Be not slothful to go and to enter to possess the land. Don't be slothful. Don't be lazy to go and possess the land. Amen? There's a lot of things else you're not lazy to do. Some of you, man, you're big into exercise. You're big into a lot of things that are just wonderful, wonderful. I mean, you're making business, making money, and you give it greatly to the kingdom. Don't be slack to possess your own land. Amen? God's not interested in your stuff. He's not interested in your product, in your produce, in your building up the kingdom by the means of your actions. God's interest is first your character. Your happiness, your character, your worship. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. What's the tongue of an angel? I guess it's not the tongue of a man, but that's another sermon. of God that He puts on the inside of you. And so it's not born of you. You are a lover that loves not because of anything that's on the inside of you. Everybody say amen. Say now that so when you're ugly, you'll know that's not you. Amen. If there was any confusion on the first verse I talked about, is that I believe in speaking in other tongues, and those other tongues are not Greek and Hebrew and French. It's a tongue that's not of men. Amen? All right, just make sure I'm clear on that. So if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not agape, have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith, man, I got all kinds of good things, helpful things. Things are just really awesome that have not love. Oh, so that I can remove a mountain and have not love, I'm nothing. You're what? And though I bestow all my goods to feed, this is a good one, feed the poor, and I give my body to be... Could you do that? Without love, could you do that? Well, I think so. If you wanted to make a name for yourself, go out in a blaze of glory. You know, give my body to be burned, and I have not love. I guess you could do that. It just says it here. It'd be kind of a silly thing to do. It's kind of like those guys that strap the bombs to their body, you know. They're not doing that for love, are they? Huh? Allahu Akbar. God is great. Boom. I don't know. That's not a great God. So I give my body to be burned. I have not charity. It profits me nothing. It profits me nothing. See? There are many things that we can do. Many things that we can do and produce and walk out there and just make a big show of things. But apart from the love of God, it's absolutely nothing. It's absolutely nothing. If your vessel is not filled with the love of God, anything else your vessel is doing is pointless. Amen? You hear me? It's pointless. It's trash. It's garbage. Oh, they gave millions to feed the poor. It's nothing. It's nothing. They're going to die. Give yourself up. See, possessing your vessel is also what? Giving it up. Giving yourself up. Giving yourself away, isn't it? Huh? You possess your vessel. Because in possessing your vessel, you know who it's possessed of. It's possessed of God. And then He proceeds to use you as He sees fit to use you. Amen? Aren't you a vessel to be used of God? Amen. Awesome. See, now let's, you know, God is desirous for you to walk in His kingdom and to live in His kingdom. Now again, you know, we're going to walk out of here and go have lunch or brunch. Then we'll go home and have a nap. Guess I'm kind of telling you what I'm going to do. And then, by golly, I'm going to get up and go to church tonight. Y'all come on. We're going to Fort Worth. It's great. If I get a bus, we all load up. I live closer. Live equidistant. Hallelujah. How far would you travel for the Word of God? No, I'm not going to go there. But again, but then there's tomorrow. And you begin to live, your daily thing. Right? Anybody do that? Like after Sunday morning? It's kind of, we get you all wound up and then you kind of wind down. Amen. This is our life here in this earth. You know what? It says, don't be slack to possess your vessel. You know, I always tell people, I tell people, they'd say, get some, especially when I'm talking to women, I say, write it on your mirror and lipstick, you know, this thing that, you know, possess your vessel. Now, your husband may not like that. You know, write that. You know, write that down in lipstick. Something that's hard to get rid of. You know, write these things down. Put them in front of your face. See, in the Old Testament, they talked about always putting these things before you. They used to walk around with these giant phylacteries. You know, they start out like this, just to remind you, a little bitty thing, a little bitty strap around your head. And then, but in Jesus' time, they started walking around with them. They were about like this big. They couldn't even hardly see. You know, you move that thing. This big old, almost like having a whole Bible. Be like if I strapped this Bible to my head walking around, you know, that would be holy, right? That would be a holy-looking guy. Of course, around here it'd be weird, but you'd be a holy-looking guy. Maybe if I just wore it to church, maybe it would make an impression, don't you think? But it's always to keep that Word of God always before you at all times and in all places, because this Word of God shall not depart out of your mouth. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's exactly it. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 8, says, "Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments." Keep and seek. Keep and seek. 1 Corinthians 28:8. I've never heard it called an address. That's good. I did what I said. Well, that's what I meant. Are you confused? 1 Chronicles. Now, see, I messed Lou all up. That's terrible. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 8. 1 Chronicles, that's right. "Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, in the sight of the people, in the sight of God, keep and seek all for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess." Oh, isn't that powerful? "In the presence of the people and in the presence of God, keep and seek the commandments of God, that you may possess this good land, and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever." So what does the Word of God have to do with possessing your land? Everything. It has everything to do with you possessing your land, outwardly and in the presence of the people. Amen? In the presence of the people. In other words, you are a demonstration of the sanctification process of the living God as you open yourself up to this Word of God. And again, you know, there is a discipleship process that is taking place. You know, you come into the kingdom of God by faith. You begin to not work, but you begin to know what God has said about His kingdom. A lot of people get put to work and they never grow up. Huh? A lot of people get put to work in the kingdom of God, you know, put Him down there ushering or put Him over here. That's why we don't have a lot going on here. You know, we're not putting a lot of people to work just yet. Because we want people happy when they're working. And the happy people come from the people who have meditated on the Word of God. Amen? The happy people are the people who know whom they have believed and that He's able to keep that which they've committed unto Him against that day. They're not going to have to keep it. See, a lot of times you think you're going to have to keep it. You know, well, I hope God comes soon because I'm going to get tired. You know, I'm getting tired. I'm getting tired. I'm on this treadmill. I'm getting tired. God. Because you're working for God. Huh? Hearts are changed one at a time, aren't they? Because you're working for God. So God doesn't want you to work for Him. God wants you to work with Him. God's not looking for servants. He's looking for sons. Sons and daughters. Brethren and sisters. Amen? He is. He's looking for those who will work with Him because He's looking for sons to inherit. He's looking for children to inherit the kingdom. That is to rule with Him, to walk with Him, to reign with Him. You know, we got a lot of rich people. I probably in Dallas the same thing. We got a lot of rich people in Fort Worth, the second, third generation. Forget them. They're just into drugs and sex and cars and jail. Their grandpa was rich. Huh? Is there any people like that in Dallas? I mean, you know, the grandpa was the not gold digger, but the oil driller, whatever. You know, oil driller, big builder, whatever. You know, then the son went to Harvard. The grandson went to pot, literally. Amen? Any of you like that? Well, praise the Lord. See, a lot of people had an inheritance and they squandered it. Amen? That's because the father didn't pay any attention. We want to pay attention. We're not good, but we fear God, and we don't want to give you something that's going to let you squander your life. Amen. Just give you something, give you a new car, and make you happy. We don't want you to be that kind of happy. We want you to be happy 5 years down the road. We want you to be happy 10 years down the road. We want you to be happy when you're walking with God. We want you to be happy when you're in trouble. Amen. Huh? And how many would like to be happy when you're in trouble? Amen. That's what this is all about. It's knowing how to possess your vessel, that you would be happy, that you would be joyful. He says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, he says, though we're troubled on every side, we're not in distress. Anybody want to be like that? A lot of you troubled on every side, but you're in distress, baby. You want to be troubled on every side and not in distress. You want to be perplexed. What if you don't know what's going on? What if you don't know how to fix this thing? He says you're perplexed, but you're not in despair. We got people in despair. Just because things aren't working out. Just because things aren't working out. No! You're filled with the Holy Ghost. Just because things aren't working out, it's not an excuse to just dive. To go down. To give up. To give up to the flesh. Amen? Rejoice when all of these things come upon you. For great is your reward in heaven. Great is your reward in heaven. You're being trained as a leader, as one who is going to reign with your Father. Amen? But also to lift up those because you have the love of God flowing out of you. This is true. No, I hate those people. No, you don't. That's a lie. I hate these kind of people. Okay, you know. No! No! Come up here. Well, never mind. Don't come up here. I'm going to say I'll slap you. But I could slap myself. God's good. He loves me. He's using me. His desire is to cause His Spirit to flow through me and the love of God to flow through me to everybody. Amen? To every person, to every individual. That I'm not one who looks at that and says, oh, you idiot. But I have mercy. I'm walking in mercy, but also walking in judgment. You need to walk in judgment and in mercy toward those in the body and those outside the body. Judgment is don't do that. Mercy is repent. God loves you. Amen? And it's also, I love you. And there are people that are a mess. There are people in this world. There's a lot of stuff in this world. There are people in this world that are not having every opportunity that you have. Amen? People in this world not having every opportunity that you have, either physically, mentally. This world is a place. You know, why was this man born blind? Because his parents sinned or because he sinned? Neither. But that the glory of God may be manifest, I'm here. Yeah, he didn't answer the question. He said, never mind that. Here we are now. Let's manifest the love of God. Let's manifest the Word of God. Let's manifest the power of God in the earth right now to demonstrate that God loves you. And that's why you're here. Jesus said, where I'm going, you can't go. So I want you to stay here. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. Can we go with you? No. I'd like to go with you. Sorry. No, you're going to stay here. God didn't save you to kill you and take you to heaven. Amen. God saved you to cause you to become a minister of the gospel. Well, I thought you were that. Guess again. God called you. God has called you. He's gifted you. Romans chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He's gifted you. A lot of you looking at Ephesians 4 and think that's the only kind of minister. You're wrong. You know, you're a minister. You're a servant of the Most High God. So we said it there. 1 Chronicles, did you get there? 1 Chronicles 28:8. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, all the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess. So keep and seek. Seek. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Everything you have need of will be added to you. Amen? That you may possess this good land. Seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children. See, your life is an inheritance for your children, isn't it? Your life is your is a testimony unto your children. Amen? Hallelujah. Your life is a testimony unto your children. Now, so keep and seek the commandments of God so that you may leave an inheritance of righteousness to your children. Hallelujah. Amen? That's what the Lord is doing. So He's cleansing us. You know, no matter where you are, no matter where you begin, no matter where you're living, just God is looking to cleanse you right now. Start today. Don't be sly. Yes, you're born again. Born again, going to heaven, glory to God. We're not through. This is the will of God. The sanctification of your soul, that you enter not into fornication. A couple of other things here. And we'll probably talk about it next time we get together. We'll talk about chastisement next time we get together. Hang on one second here. I wrote down a scripture. I want to see what it is before I tell you to go there. No, that's not the one I want. Let's go to Ezra chapter 9. You can remember to go through... And you can do a search in a concordance or something, but you can go into Deuteronomy, or you can go to, if you have the internet, you can go to blueletterbible.com, and it's a good concordance, good way to look up things. You can look up the word possess. And if you'll go to Deuteronomy, you'll find that Deuteronomy has possession in abundance of God's desire that we possess the land. Amen? That the people of God possess the land. And for us, as those who don't have the temple, don't have a land, those who have been brought into the kingdom of God, the land is to possess. The land to possess is not your neighbors. The land to possess that God has given unto you is you. Amen? It is. It's you. And you can say this, Lord God, I'm not going to be slothful anymore to possess my land. Lead me. Lead me. And as you read the Word of God, as you just put yourself into practice, now, it's not just the reading, but it's the reading by faith. Amen? Not just the reading. A lot of people have read the Word, read the Word, read the Word, read the Word, read the Word as an obedience. If you'll read the Word as an obedience and an expectation. Amen? Thanking God that He is producing in you fruit that's born of that Word of God. Amen? You're not doing it as an obedience to appease an angry God. Read my Word. Read the Bible through in a year. Read the Bible through in a month. No, it's to constantly keep the water flowing. Anybody know water flowing over the rocks? What does it do? Purifies it. You want to keep that water flowing over you. Amen? To keep you purified. To keep you purified. To keep you always. To keep you purified. But doing it by faith. Doing it knowing that the Lord God is producing in you by that Word. You may not even understand all the things that are going by. A lot of people get stuck. Well, I don't understand it. I'm just going to quit. No, don't. Just go right over. If you didn't understand that, just go right over and keep going. Huh? Praise the Lord. Ezra, chapter 9. Yes, thank you. I'm just taking a breath. You don't mind, do you? You could read Psalm 119 twice through in a year. If you just want one verse to read, one verse to read a day, I recommend that one. You open up Psalm 119. You know, you could, it's got 176 verses. How much is that? 6, 12? 352? That's 352 times. You're almost there. Amen? You could read that one verse a day and you just meditate on that thing. I'm not saying just read a verse a day. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm trying to help you out. Amen? It's powerful. It's powerful stuff. Ezra chapter 9. Look at verse 4. Then were assembled to me everyone that trembled at the words of God of Israel, because the transgression of those that had been carried away, that is, into captivity. So you remember Ezra is the one who's beginning to, they're rebuilding the wall, going to be rebuilding the wall. They've been allowed to go back to the city of Jerusalem and rebuild the wall, rebuild the city by the king in Persia. So it says, and at the evening sacrifice I rose up, verse 5, from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands to the Lord my God, and I said, O God, I am ashamed and blush, embarrassed, to lift up my face to you, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses grown up to the heavens. Since the days of our fathers we have been in great trespass to this day. And for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to a confusion of face, as it is this day, a shame. And now for a little space, grace has been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, that is, to go and build the city, and to give us a nail in His holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God has not forsaken us in our bondage. For God has extended mercy to us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken your commandments, which you have commanded by your servants, the prophets, saying, now listen, the land to which you go to possess it is an unclean land, with filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations which have filled it from one end to the other, with their uncleanness. Now therefore give not your daughters to their sons, neither take their daughters to your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth ever, that you may be strong. Don't give yourself away. That you may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that you, our God, have punished us less than our iniquities deserve and have given us such deliverance as this, should we break again your commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Would not you be angry with us till you had consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? O Lord, O God of Israel, you are righteous, for we yet remain escaped, as it is this day. Behold, we are before you in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before you because of this. Now when Ezra had prayed, verse chapter 10, and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled to him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very bitterly. Father, we magnify you. We exalt you. We praise you. We worship you. We bless you. Lord God, that you have given us such a deliverance, and yet we squander it daily in our flesh. Father, we thank you that you are teaching us how to possess each one of us our vessel, that we manifest the kingdom in demonstration of the glory of God, not by ourselves, but because of your Spirit and your greatness and your glory. So, Father, we thank you also that everything that you have desired for us as we give ourselves to this possession of our vessels shall be accomplished, and we shall walk in joy unspeakable and full of glory rather than misery and always looking for the next thing to make us happy. Father, we thank you that you are causing us to walk in thanksgiving, joy, peace, loving kindness, love for one another, and love for the world, causing us to possess this vessel. And we magnify you. And Father, we thank you right now. We repent, Lord God. We repent. We cry out and repent and change our minds. Do turn from these abominations and these wickednesses that we have allowed to continue. And Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that each of us comes into your presence. To be broken in our flesh. We're born again. We're filled with the Spirit of the living God. Yet, we have not feared you as the one who has given all for us, who's moved heaven and earth. Father, I just pray for the mercy and the glory of God to be made manifest unto your people so that we weep greatly, cry to show us your great love, your great mercy, that we may be able to possess our vessel in sanctification and in honor. And abstain from fornication and all the works of the flesh, that we may be made manifest as a vessel fit for your use to demonstrate the kingdom, and that our joy be made known unto all men, all who see us, that we are known because of our love for one another. We worship you. We worship you. We praise you. We magnify you. We sing to you. We glorify you. We determine, Lord, to sing your praise in the midst of the congregation. To fellowship with one another according to your word. We bless you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Oh, we glorify you. We give thanks unto your name. You have delivered us. You've delivered us mightily. Mightily. With a mighty deliverance. We magnify you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Blessing and glory and honor and thanksgiving and praise be to the name of the Lord our God. Hallelujah. I just worship you, Lord God. Father, cause me to be transformed. Cause me, Lord God, to put aside all of these, to not be slack concerning the possession of the land. That we may be not slothful in the possession of our own bodies and our own minds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does anybody want to testify or share?